Truat has been on our program before, and he has. I'm going to let you again describe a little bit more about yourself, because you've got a really good, varied background here to provide a lot of great information for people on what's going on with our little TB boxes and vaccinations and some of the other medical dilemmas we've got going on out there. Dr. Ott?
Yes, Melody. I can just barely hear you, kind of fade in and out. I wanted to make sure we're hooked up okay, but thanks so much for allowing me to go on the air again with you. And then, Katie, it's a pleasure to hear your voice again. As a way of background, I need to let the listeners know that I, at one time, was a radio talk show host as well.
Oh.
My program was titled The Story Behind the Story. We had quite a listening audience, and we were looking at being syndicated. This is from roughly the mid-90s up until around the year 2001. Shortly after the events of 9/11, as you can guess, started digging into the story behind the story of that event, and we became kind of like the Dixie Chicks, very unpopular very quickly for being so unpatriotic to dare to question the real story. And now it's kind of fun to know that over 50% of America in recent polling are now believing, rightfully so, that there was a whole lot more to those events and what the official story is all about. And so the show was canceled, and I kind of had to go underground.
When was this?
This was starting in December of 2001, shortly after September 11th. I got to just tell you a little story, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
We had a gentleman that contacted me through our program. Again, we were just looking at the prehistory of September 11th, specifically the movement of troops to the Gulf, Persian Gulf region, preparatory to moving into Afghanistan. This was well before the events of September 11th. They were in the summer of 2001. And in that regard, we were asking why it's just amazing that we prepared to invade Afghanistan well before October of 2001. A gentleman contacted me who claimed to be one of the top three demolition experts in the world. He was Finnish. He talked to me initially through a voice scrambler. He already had quite a heavy, Russian type of accent. And the information that he sent to me was stunning, showing how he had shown Silverstein and company how to place the charges and what it would take to purposely demolish the Twin Towers as well as Building 7.
I think I know who you're talking about. This is interesting.
Yes. Well, I published that. I never had a chance to interview him on the air. He never called back at the appointed time for his Story Behind the Story interview, but I had his documents and I published them on the internet anonymously, and it's got the I got a tremendous amount of backlash over that one, as you can imagine. But see, the reality is, the only way to disintegrate those powerful steel columns, 64 major columns embedded 18 stories below bedrock, below the ground level, the only way to bring those towers down is a tactical nuclear weapon, a mini nuke, if you will. Now, that would explain the high levels of radioactive tritium that was measured in that fine powdery dust that covered Manhattan, that infamous day. It was much, much more than the radioactivity in the exit signs, okay, which was the official explanation.
Well, there wasn't many of you out there talking about that either.
Well, I tell you, like I said, if you think the Dixie Chicks were unpopular, holy mackerel. it wasn't controversy, it was hate mail and death threats. So So that gives you a little bit of background of the type of digging that I personally like to do and go much deeper than what is typically on the surface. You know, and as we've said in our last show, there's a lot of unanswered questions that are typical of that type of thing. With this, quote, inevitable bird flu pandemic that is poised to hit America.
Okay, now, did you get into your schooling or your background somewhat into what how you're trained or whatever before you did this at all?
Well, no, I haven't, but I guess I could. I have a PhD, and that stands for a pile higher and deeper, by the way. I do stand 6'7", so I'm quite high and deep. My doctorate is in the field of nutrition, and I am also a licensed naturopathic doctor. And I do that, and I've done it in that field primarily because it's my way of helping people, I guess is the best way to say it. Because, you see, the sad fact is the problems plaguing America are rooted in America's lack of health and vitality. Our systems, our diet that we're on, our American Western diet, is like I used to like to say, our diet is a riot. It doesn't make sense. We are deficient in so many prime nutrients. And so many of our baby boom generation now, as they're reaching their maturity years, are just flat out sick and dependent on the pharmaceutical cartels for a semblance of what they think is a healthy lifestyle.
Well, you know, one of the things that are you going through some, I notice in my state, the naturopathic doctors are starting to get regulated even more and more. Is that going on nationally or in your state as well?
Well, that's part of the agenda, actually, Melody, absolutely part of the agenda. You see, the people that are healthy and wise are very hard to control, are very hard to be part of the New World Order dictatorship, and so they have to be thinned out and weeded out. And absolutely, yes, it's a nationwide and even worldwide thing now. We can talk for hours about the cartel that really rules this world. Going out of the city of London into the pharmaceutical houses of the world, and the drugs that are put out there, not only legal prescription drugs such as OxyContin, oxycodone, which are basically heroin, opium poppy derivatives, but also the illegal drugs, the terrible scourge of cocaine and heroin and meth. It absolutely puts the human being into a state of slavery.
Can I, before we get into the subject you want to cover here, I have a question, and I run across this numerous times. The people that are on pain meds with this OxyContin or these various pain medications, it's like, when they go off of it, it's like it activates something in their body that makes things so much more painful that they can't get off. Do you have an understanding of what's going on with
that? Well, absolutely. Yeah, you see, oxycodone, OxyContin, they're just one small step away from pure freebase heroin. And here's a factoid for you. If you take and crush those pills and heat them and burn off the residue, the little coal tar residue, you can have pretty much freebase heroin. So it's just like the heroin addict trying to go off of his heroin injections. Very, very difficult because the body becomes very much addicted to it.
But it's like they never give them enough to kill their pain either.
And they keep building up resistance to it, so they need more and more of it to give the same level of pain relief, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, go ahead and go into your avenue with the bird flu.
Well, knowing what I do, I know just enough about virology and the science of microbiology and viruses to be dangerous. I know just enough to ask the tough questions. Well, you know, I know that viruses that are genetically specific to different animal hosts, such as birds and such as canines, you know, your puppy dog that contracts parvo, you know, you really can't catch parvo from that puppy dog. And the same thing is true with the typical H5N1 bird flu virus. You know, these birds can get sick and die. Well, that's Mother Nature's way of keeping the population in check and from overpopulation and crowding out their food supply and their breeding sites, okay? That's always been there. It's Mother Nature's way of culling the flock, okay? To say that that can jump species willy-nilly and come and infect Americans or anybody worldwide is absolutely misstating the facts of science. It has never happened before, never happened, will never happen in the future. So that's a cover and a smokescreen from my viewpoint and vantage point. So when I hear the esteemed ex-Secretary Leavitt from Utah declaring to the nation and the world that we are due for an inevitable pandemic and it's going to be the bird flu pandemic, you see the red flags immediately jump up, and I'm saying, what's the real agenda here? And that's where I started to dig and found out a couple of very interesting things. In the year 1997, a team of microbiologists headed by a man named Taubenberger began to study the virus that killed millions of Americans and millions of people worldwide in 1918 and 1919, and basically was able to genetically isolate the 8 different chromosome structures in that mutation that was so deadly. It took him 5 years, and actually a total of 7 years, to finish that genome project. In 2003, they announced publicly they have mapped out the specific gene structure that made that virus so deadly. And then 2 years later, they basically have finished the weaponization of that by blocking it in to the human DNA structure, permanently blocking it in. Okay? Again, Taubenberger's team is from the U.S. Institute of Pathology at Fort Detrick.
Are you familiar with any of the research that Jenny Lake has been doing? Is that name at all familiar with you?
I have given her some information over the years, okay, and vice versa, so yes.
Okay, I was just curious because yes, she got into a little bit of that history. It seems like cross, you know, histories that kind of cross paths. Or
oh, yes, right, yes. And so you see, once this is finished and weaponized, it wasn't until that was completed that we hear the war cry that we are due for another 1918-type pandemic. And so, again, the questions arise, why? Who's responsible? Well, again, back in 1918, this did not happen by an act of nature. You have to understand that, and this is a very important part of this discussion. You find that in 1916, the vaccines of smallpox, cowpox as it was called back then, and the experimental vaccine for typhus fever was introduced and mass-produced by John D. Rockefeller Laboratories and sold basically throughout the world. It was mandatory, by law, mandatorily forced into every soldier's veins in the U.S. Expeditionary Force. The British troops and forces were given an option. They were strongly recommended to get vaccinated, but they weren't forced to. But in America, they were forced to, or they went to the brig and were court-martialed, okay? And it was that vaccine that caused that great pandemic. Folks, you trace the outbreaks back to where, you know, where they were the hottest and where they originated, and you find they all came from military bases and installations, without exception. The PBS documentary called Killer Flu documents this pretty well, but they didn't point the finger at the vaccinations. They said it was the unsanitary conditions of the bases, it was the proximity of pigs and swine and birds and chickens to the human base that caused the problem. Never mind pointing the fingers at the vaccine, you see. Because you know what, Melody and Katie, there's no statute of limitations for murder, especially for mass murder.
So essentially, I'm running in this a lot in people trying to do research on numerous events, and this statute of limitations has prevented whistleblowers from coming forward and numerous other aspects for getting justice with these types of.
I hear you, but I wouldn't. I guess I wouldn't call it murder. I would call it manslaughter. I don't believe there was motivation to kill people. I think that they were trying to get a foothold on this dread typhus fever. Typhoid in war conditions kills as many people as bullets, and so they were trying. You know, I give them that. They were trying to wipe that out. But what was actually happening from those contaminated vaccines, the mass death that occurred, needs to be responsibility taken, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they need to fess up to the real cause of the problem. And call it manslaughter, mass manslaughter.
Well, but what about the weaponization of them now?
Now that's a whole other ball of worms.
And that started fairly early on, too.
Oh, yes. You know, using biological weaponry. It's really the U.S. has led the way in that research. I hate to say that. I love my country. I love my military. But the fact is that America has led the charge in that research field. And so, you know, to weaponize that and to have the potential to use it as a socio-engineering tool to bring about their, you know, eugenics programs, that is, in fact, not only murder, but premeditated murder.
Well, are you aware of the many scientists that have been dying over the last few years?
I'm very much aware.
Especially the macrobiologists.
Absolutely. All 38 that I know of, I've researched, they had at least some tie to this virus research project. At least a dozen that I'm aware of were getting ready to publicly blow the whistle on what was being planned, and they were permanently shut up.
Have you seen the video that Leonard Horowitz produced?
I have.
And it sounds to me like, you know, there's a number of other things other than just bird flu that may have been weaponized. And
well, yes, there is. And with all due respect to Dr. Horowitz, those other pathogens, even Ebola and the plague, they're not as virulent and potentially deadly as that 1918 strain. There's no greater mortality in as quick a time amongst the able-bodied healthy segment. Now, this is a key thing. The 1918 pathogen, that viral mutation that occurred, really didn't hit the elderly, people over age 45 and those under age 12, those prepubescent children, nearly with the veracity and the mortality of the 18 to 36 year old people. Now, there was something in their genetic makeup at that age group that became very, 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 very poisonous to them. as you, if you read the medical pathology reports, people came to work, for instance, in the cities, feeling totally fine and chipper at 9 o'clock in the morning, were in the morgue by 5 o'clock. Now that's pretty drastic.
And what do you attribute it to? Have you attributed it to anything specifically or a combination?
Well, yeah, the way this virus kills, it attacks the mucal linings of the bronchial, the lung area, the bronchial tubes, and creates massive hemorrhaging. And so just a small, slight cough, and you rupture and you actually asphyxiate in your own blood. That's how it kills. And there's a factor in young adults and young people under age 40 that this becomes very lethal to them, as opposed to the older segments of the society.
Well, didn't they use chemical weapons in that war?
Well, yes, that's where the gases, basically mustard gas, was used extensively in World War I.
Okay, so if you introduce a fairly virulent germ in with people that have been exposed to these chemicals, I would think you'd have an incredible potential there.
That is also a possibility. What happened, but there were outbreaks of this pandemic in, bases in Kansas around Fort Leavenworth and around the other bases in Spain from people that didn't even have access or were not even introduced to these chemical agents. So, yes, it could cause mutations, but that really wasn't the factor. And if you look at the other part of the coin, the Rockefeller cartel, bless their hearts, they're equal opportunity sellers. They sold just as many to the German troops, just as many vaccines to the German troops as they did to the Allied troops. And the Kaiser's troops were actually given the vaccines 3 to 4 months before the Allies received them, okay, to the IG Farben structures which they manufactured, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the History Channel's documents of World War I, the Kaiser's troops were pretty much winning World War I until they all came down with this mystery pneumonia, and many of them died, and the whole line collapsed, and that really was what won the war. The German soldiers were deathly ill as well.
So its advantages became kind of obvious then.
Yes,
to the other side.
And so, that's the reality of this thing. Like I said earlier, I think it was a perhaps an honest mistake. They didn't even understand what viruses were all about until the mid-1930s when the more powerful microscopes were able to document the existence of viruses versus bacteria. So it was an honest mistake. But there's no excuse for recreating this most deadly pathogen and weaponizing it for specific use for individuals. Okay, that's what's happening. So when you hear all of the talk about vaccines needed for the coming pandemic, please don't be fooled, people. Understand that's how they're going to spread this thing. Is the same way that they did it in 1918, by means of tainted, contaminated vaccines.
I think you give them a little more credit than I would, because when I start going back into the history of the people from this time period, I mean, there's so many coincidences that all kind of we interweave together to... They're very active today, and that's why knowing this history is so important. It's just like when you're talking about the compartmentalization of the various academia and that sort, and which filters down into all aspects of our lives. In my state, they just started regulating massage therapists. Well, they sell it to the people for this regulation is, well, we're going to get rid of the the not good ones, and you know, and all these great little catchy things. That's what they do it in the insurance. They did it in the AIG and whatever. Well, they started cracking down on us extra good when I was selling securities, and that was right when we were bought out by AIG, and right before 2001. And AIG has maybe a fingerprint very strongly in there, and kept on from that point.
It's just like Enron's accountants. You know, they're supposed to follow the GAAP principles, but obviously they don't. Okay?
Oh, they were AIGs too, by the way.
Oh yeah, there you go. And you know, it just goes back to one of the things that we reported on in depth with the story behind the story concerning 9/11 was those incredible put options. Now, come on, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that some third world lackeys with box cutter knives had the wherewithal to place put options, and massive ones. So we were digging and following that trail, okay? And by golly, that was really a hot trail to follow, very hot as far as government inquiry heat, okay? There were so many things that have now come out. Why in the world were Saudi nationals flown out with orders, presidential orders from Bush, when every other plane was grounded, including, you know, private carrier planes with other government officials? But to get the Saudi nationals out right now, you see, wait a minute, it was Saudi nationals that were supposedly the hijackers. But nobody talks about those things. You know, nobody digs into the story behind the story like we were doing. And my golly, it caused us to wake up that how powerfully the American public as a whole is mind controlled by the networks on TV.
There we go. Your other aspect, segue over there.
Yeah, see, that's what led me into this other field, because I mean to tell you, how can you throw out logic? How can you just ignore the fact that those twin towers were built specifically to withstand a direct hit by a major airline, just like happened? They were built, engineered to withstand that, okay? How can you ignore all of the logic, what you see with your own eyes, the controlled demolition burst that you see puffing out? When I saw it happening, I said, oh my goodness, they demolished that building, and they can't possibly get America to believe that. That was what I said when I watched it. And by golly, they sure did. People put their brains, for the most part, put their brains in neutral, and just let the mass media tell them what they should believe. Now, there's a reason for that, folks. The television networks, the major television networks, do in fact use and utilize mind control frequency waves in their broadcasts.
Well, from what I understand, even in the electrical current, there is the current that's used is not really advantageous to humans. Is that
no, right? Absolutely not. And post it, you know, just take a video camera and take a picture of your TV screen, okay, and then play it back. You'll see the flashing of the light. Your subconscious mind can see that, but your physical, you know, your eyes and your central nervous system cannot. You can't register that, but the video camera can. It's flickering a pulse wave, okay? Now, specifically through non-audio frequencies, they, in fact, can induce feelings of anger, of hot emotion, and, more importantly, complete trust. Those emotions are generated by subliminal pulse frequencies. Now, I'm going to give you some patents, because since 2001, there's been even more incredible breakthroughs in technology. Let me just give you some pre-2001 patents. I authored a paper called SOS, the Sound of Silence Technology. Did you receive a copy of that by any chance?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, okay. Where I document the patent, U.S. patent number 5,151,080, dated September 29th of 1992, by Dr. Oliver Lowry, entitled Silent Subliminal Presentation System. The abstract reads, quote, "It's a silent communication system in which non-oral carriers," in other words, frequencies that you can't hear, "in the very low or very high audio frequency range or in the adjacent ultrasonic frequency spectrum are modulated with the desired intelligence and propagated acoustically or vibrationally for inducement to the brain." Now, folks, what that is saying, and again, let me just reemphasize, these patents are not granted unless the technology is proven. They just don't issue these protection patents willy-nilly. There's got to be evidence and testing done and proof that what they're saying in their abstracts actually works. This was dated, again, in 1992. Now, in 1999, July 13th, U.S. patent number 5922016, we have a patent granted to Hu Lu, Lu was his last name. Probably a Chinese gentleman, okay, because the Chinese were really into this science of mind control. The Chinese and the North Koreans, I might add, okay? Abstract. "The invention pertains to influence the nervous system of a subject by a very weak, externally applied magnetic field with a frequency near 0.5 hertz. In this range of amplitudes, these fields can excite sensory resonance, which is the physiological effect involved in, quote, rocking the baby. Go to sleep, you little baby. It's okay, Daddy's here." Let me tell you, Hulu put this technology out to the major news networks in 2000, a year before 9/11. They could induce them right over the carrier wave, translate it into your TV screen, and it basically gave the physiological, neurological effect of being rocked. Like rocking the baby, like you being in a crib and being rocked and soothed and comforted. Everything's okay. Are you with me? Did I go put you to sleep?
No, there's just so many things going through my mind. And you start doing this stuff that is just, I mean, it's like we're being shotgun blasted from every direction coming and going.
I'm so sorry to tell you this, but it's absolutely shocking, I know. Listen. So you can imagine what I was experiencing, watching the Super Bowl and seeing this commercial for Hulu and the symbolism. Alec Baldwin, bless his heart, is sitting there at the base of the Hollywood H and introduces himself to supposedly aliens that are coming to visit him. He takes them into a covert research lab in the heart of the Hollywood Hills, going in, and there is all these studies on brain frequencies and what turns the human brain into mush. Hulu is the patent holder. Let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. No less than 6 patents on absolute total mind control, yes indeed, turning your brain into mush.
I never did figure out what that commercial was trying to tell us.
That's what it's telling you. let me share with you Hendriku Hu, as his hit nickname is, Hu Lu's latest patent. Okay, this will blow your mind. It's dated exact thing pulled up here. Dated December 3rd of 2002, U.S. patent number 6488617. Get this. The abstract reads, physiological effects have been observed in a human subject in response to stimulation of the skin with weak electromagnetic fields that are pulsed with certain frequencies from 0.5 hertz to 2.4 hertz, okay? This is done with computer monitors and TV tubes. When displaying pulsed images, these tubes emit pulsed electromagnetic fields of sufficient amplitudes to cause such excitation. Now get this. It is therefore possible to manipulate the nervous system of a subject by pulsing images displayed on a nearby computer monitor or TV set.
Now, does it matter whether it's cathode ray or the LED?
This new technology can be sent from a remote location through any type of ray, but the plasma waves of the new computer screens and the new plasma high definition TVs are really, really precise in this modulation. Okay. For the latter, the abstract was on to read. For the latter, the image pulsing may be embedded in the program material, or it may be overlaid by modulating a video stream, either as an RF, or radio frequency signal, or as high digital video signal. The image displayed on a computer monitor may be pulsed effectively by a simple computer program. Wow. That's exactly what Hulu's all about. It takes the programming of your basic most popular TV shows and pulses them through a modulator through digital stream into a receiving computer. It's exactly what it does. It's called Hulu, and who got the patent? Well, Hulu did.
But yeah, I guess I'm just dense. It still doesn't make any sense. Why, unless they're already trying to set us up to think that it's okay just kind of programming us for, you know, if you hear anything about this, it's no big deal. You know, they've already started, you know, joking about it. Is that what they're up to?
I think they're putting it the truth right in our face and mocking it.
Okay. All right.
That's what I got from it. Because I'm telling you, everything in that covert lab about studying the brain and brain pulses, there's no laughing matter. It absolutely is true. They've actually done that. Okay? Now, here's what I see happening. The deadline has been extended from February 17th to sometime in June. Benevolent act of our new president, right? But get this, Utah has already gone digital. I don't know about Colorado and the other states, but Utah went ahead and switched all of their channels over as of the 17th. And you know what? I got to tell you, the signal is absolutely terrible. It is. You're watching. I like to watch the basketball game. That's about all I ever turn the TV on for, is to watch my Utah Jazz. And golly, you know, they freeze up, they skip out in important parts. It's bad. It's not improved. Okay. And here's what you have to understand in that move to digital, folks. The analog system carries the high definition signal just fine. But when you move to digital, it opens up 100% more band space, bandwidth. For what purpose? More stations? I don't think so. We've got hundreds and hundreds of stations already available through satellite TV and cable networks now. How many more choices do you need? No. It's to bring over the bandwidths of specific frequencies of mind control and fine-tune them. That is what the digital move is all about.
Okay, so
This again for me goes back to the period when you gave them the benefit of the doubt, and yet you see how sinister they can be now. Why would you think that they weren't that then?
I'm just saying I'm saying they were sinister, but I just didn't know what they were doing back then.
Did either of you happen to view the YouTube video of someone taking apart one of the digital boxes and finding a camera and a microphone?
Yes, and I basically labeled that as a hoax.
Okay, this was for Magnavox?
Yes.
Because I read that some of the others didn't have them that had been opened.
Yeah, I initially said that was a hoax because I've taken apart many a box myself, and I don't see that. What he was looking at as what he thought was a camera was basically the sensor for the remote control, okay?
Okay.
But... there is a very sophisticated RF generator in those boxes, radio frequency generator. That is what I did verify.
Do the boxes work without it, or do they have to have it?
Well, there's no way to get the digital signal descrambled except through that box. Okay.
Well, isn't the camera already in the TV?
Yes, that's the other thing of the Hulu technologies. They can actually now use that same technology to basically use the camera or the TV screen itself as a camera and a microphone. And that those patents are absolutely valid and workable. So, yes, there's no need to put cameras and mics in the digital boxes themselves. That's misinformation.
Okay, thanks.
And as far as computers... They have them. I'm hearing that they have the cameras and.
Oh yes, that's the microphones are in most TV or most computer monitors and sets now anyway. And so yes, for video conferencing, all of those things are being set. Now, folks, if you want to research this on your own, and please don't take Dr. Ott's word for it or anybody else's. God gave you a brain to sort this out with. Just go look up a few things on the internet, okay? Look up what's called PROMIS, P-R-O-M-I-S, PROMIS software, and you'll find some artificial intelligence going on that just boggles the mind. This technology that we're speaking of is decades-old technology. The new things in speed and real-time accuracy, it's absolutely stunning what they can do. Do you want me to really scare you gals tonight?
Go for it.
Okay.
See how you do.
The technology exists with these artificial intelligence, the AI PROMIS software, that given a genetic blueprint of DNA, okay, let's say that, Dr. Ott's spouting off too much again on the air. We're going to shut him down. All we need is a sample of his DNA to go into the NSA computer network and the PROMIS software at Langley, okay? And over our satellite broadcast network, we can send a specific hertz frequency designed only for Dr. Ott, and we can cause him to have cancer, we can cause him to have a heart attack or stroke, just by being in contact with a public monitor.
Okay, now, is there patents on that?
Yes.
Okay, now, does that tie into Rife's work?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's tied in, but it's Rife on rocket fuel, okay? Because, yeah, you go into, let me also give you a book to read that's, as we speak, is being made into another major motion picture. It's called The Men Who Stare at Goats. With John Ronson, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in that book, Ronson documents interviews with Major General Stubblebean and others, okay, that were tied into the Army's PSYOPs, an Army Intelligence Psychological Operations Divisions, okay? Now, in that book, Stubblebean is quoted as saying to Ronson, during the Abu Ghraib prison interrogations, he said, "Well, golly, they don't need to torture these people. I know that they have the use of frequencies. They just got to hit them with the frequencies that will cause them to have anything in the world that can cause any type of thing from diarrhea to any type of physiological symptoms.
So does that tie back to some of the Nazi experience?
Oh, absolutely, it's tied to that. That's the outgrowth of Operation Paperclip and the Nazi human behavior scientists such as Joseph Mengele and others that were brought out and mainstreamed into the psychiatric community in the early 50s. Absolutely, it's tied to them.
I don't know if it was Joseph Farrell or James, I can't think of his name. He wrote somewhat about those experiments of various types from that time period, only I'm not sure if they were done as fiction or truth. But
well, a great nonfiction book is Marx's book on the search for the Manchurian candidate. And, you know, he basically just leaves the reader with the impression, well, they just weren't successful, and they lost their funding when the MK Ultra story went to Congress, yada, yada. Absolutely, that's not true. It was just covertly switched from one pocket to another, okay? As evidenced by Ronson's research into the men who stared at goats and the 1st Earth Battalion and others, such as John Alexander and Stubblebean and the whole crew, okay? So it absolutely is ongoing, and it has absolutely reached incredible new heights. Folks, I told you that the digital TV increases the bandwidth. There's 75% more channel capabilities now with the switch to digital. Do you realize that that increase in bandwidth is literally worth hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue to TV stations? A full 20% of that new bandwidth, however, has been given to the Department of Homeland Security for emergency broadcasts. What does that mean?
Just for emergency broadcasts?
Yes. It goes back to the in 2005, in the appropriations bill for the extension of the Iraq War appropriations, right, part of that bill included the funding for digital TV for emergency Homeland Security usage. Okay? So what in the world does Homeland Security need with that much bandwidth? Well, folks, you need that much bandwidth only if and only because they're going to be tracking everybody through radio frequency identification chips.
So,
see, there's no sense in putting chips in everybody right now if there's no way to track them. There's no way to track them until you go digital and expand the bandwidth. My big problem with our current president, you know, when you become a senator, you take an oath of office and you swear on the Bible, okay, that you'll not use your office for financial pandering, for selling your vote, etc. Do you know what happened 2 months into his term as senator? He used his millions of dollars from his book royalties from Simon & Schuster and bought stock in two companies. One, just this is in January of 2005. One company is into the leading research into developing a bird flu vaccine. This is 6 months before it was even announced there would be a pandemic. All right.
Okay.
And he also buys a large stock block in SkyTerra, which is the satellite tracking system for RFID chips. Folks, if you have your little dog or cat or your puppy dog chipped by the vet, and you lose little Fido, and you want to have him tracked by satellite, and you call a number and pay the fee by credit card, SkyTerra is the company to find your little dog. Now, of all the companies to invest in, why those two, President Obama, and why then immediately start backing bills and backing legislation and writing legislation to promote that, okay? That's 2 months into his Senate job, he was sanctioned and called into the Senate Ethics Committee for violating that on that basis. He just, you know, happens to be our president now.
Well, you know, when you go back and you start checking into, you know, what Al Gore's invested in, I mean, he's on both sides of the fence there. He's heavily invested in with the company that's going to be involved with the CO2 credits. And then he's also invested in heavily into one of the major oil companies, isn't he?
And same with John Kerry. As I did my research into this digital transfer, the individual that has promoted this digital renaissance from day one is John Forbes Kerry. Okay, so yeah, you know, it's just part of the corrupt system. I mean, it doesn't matter which party you're affiliated with, they're just so corrupt. Bush is terrible, absolutely, and you know, doggone well, something is very wrong with this bailout stimulus package. How can a bankrupt government that has trillions of dollars in deficit, how can they afford to just give out more money? Where does it come from?
How can they afford to give money to the very people that ruined the system?
Absolutely. You know, the supply of money being pumped in to the system is a recipe for hyperinflation, just exactly as Mussolini did to Italy and caused it to go completely fascist, and the same thing Hitler did in Germany. Same modus operandi, and the end result is going to be the same thing, folks. There is no free lunch and no bailout from government. It's just a bad, bad idea.
Well, let me go ahead and give the station ID, and this is KHENLP 106.9 Salida Community Supported Radio. Our guest this evening, which is Katie, is my co-host tonight, is Dr. True Ott. And we're discussing all the little new technologies that are kind of fun. But not really. Are you there, Dr. Ott?
Oh, I am. I'm just, I think we've lost Katie. I think maybe her eyes are glazing.
No, I'm here. I'm here, hanging on every word.
So, yeah, you know, it's in some ways, it's very, you know, shocking. I don't like to be a harbinger of bad news, but you know what? Until we understand how we're being used, how can we stop it? You know, and people ask me all the time, what's the alternatives? Well, you know, you got to just be aware and limit that boob tube programming. They don't call it programming for nothing, folks.
Well, you know, you sent me in one of the emails something to the effect of somebody that was dealing with some Rife machines. And again, I think there's a huge tie-in here as to why the histories and the people that are involved are so important. And this Rife machine goes back to Tesla, which was all back during this time period when the medical profession was split off from the alternative, what is now deemed alternative, when they used to be one and the same. Your allopathic and homeopathic medicines. And so do you want to describe a little bit about this? Or?
Well, sure, because that is my big area of research. And if anybody wants to know more about this, I do have a DVD that's kind of put together by myself from a PowerPoint presentation. It's called The Trial of the Century, and I really go into this in great detail. Well, let me just give you the Reader's Digest condensed version, okay? Back, as you said, around the turn of the 20th century, early 1900s, the basic medicine of America was utilizing herbal remedies. A little bit of homeopathy was coming over from Germany, and that. But you know what? There was in fact a lot of death and suffering from bacterial illnesses. You skinned a knee and got septicemia in that knee, you could lose your life, and many people did die from blood poisoning that way. So you see, in many ways it was backwards. The sanitation of the country was lacking in many places. People were still having cesspools and open sewer lines. Outhouses were the norm again. And so when a typhus fever outbreak hits, you know, it's pretty drastic outbreak, and people died. And it wasn't until, you know, Fleming found the penicillin link and began to study the germ theory that we began to get a handle on these outbreaks of deadly disease states. And you know, I'll give credit where credit's due in areas, okay? Thank goodness that the Rockefeller cartel was able to utilize the petrochemical structure of the benzene molecule to produce a synthetic form of penicillin called amoxicillin out of the crude oil molecule, because it did in fact save millions and millions of lives from these normal bacterial infections. And I'll be the first to say that was a boon to America. So that's one good thing, okay? However, what also came out of that same time frame was the consolidation of a cartel and monopoly that basically looked at drugs, basic opiates, and combinations of benzene structures from petrochemicals as the only way to go, and ignoring sound nutritional concepts of minerals and herbs and other natural substances. And in the 1920s, clear back then, the cartel formed itself into the American Medical Association, the AMA, and of course they needed a Gestapo form of police state called the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, and that became, their job became to basically stop any competition to the pharmaceutical laboratories.
And this is where that regulation stuff comes in, and they do it in all professions.
That's true, absolutely. You know, I got to tell you, when you talk about the Rife technology, that's really kind of a wide blanket of substances, of subjects, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Royal Rife wasn't really trying to look at frequencies. He found it quite by accident, as he was trying to make a microscope that would look at a virus and inside a virus, okay? The photon microscope is what he was looking
at. Which is something in itself.
Yeah, the electron basic microscope structure. But he found that by hitting it with these different light frequencies, that these pathogenic structures basically oxidized and were destroyed. Now, it's all about frequency, folks. The true finder of this technology was Nikola Tesla in the early 1900s, 1910s and into the early 20s. You know, let me tell you a neat little story here. In 1921-22 in Detroit, Michigan, there was an absolutely brilliant researcher named Dr. William F. Koch. Dr. Koch received a PhD in chemistry and biochemistry from the University of Michigan, and he also became a fully licensed medical doctor through the American Medical Association, the fledgling AMA Rockefeller cartel, okay? Well, Dr. Koch came across some individuals in Detroit where he was setting up his practice. These were they were currently engineers with Ford Motor Company there in Detroit, and they had made a trip to New York City and met with the great Nikola Tesla, and they had some technology that they had signed off with royalties to Tesla, and they were they were going to produce this machine there in Detroit. They call it the Raytone, R-A-tone machine. And this Raytone used photon energy through alternating currents to produce a plasma wave that would flat out energize the cells and tissues of the body and basically help it detoxify from many disease states. Now, Dr. Koch was excited about this because he was working and researching the same topics. Specifically, Dr. Koch had found out that every chronic degenerative disease state, from arthritis to asthma to allergies to cancer, all had one, what he called the least common denominator, and that was the lack of oxygenation. And let me tell you, folks, that's exactly what I found out in my research work as well. You take somebody that's on insulin pump, somebody that's cancerous, somebody with rheumatoid arthritis is crippling them up, and you check their blood oxygen levels and you find out it's universal. Their oxygen levels are very, very low. Dr. Koch found the same thing out in 1920. So he began to do his biochemistry and to create ways to create oxygen flow to the cells in a powerful way, working with the glucose-carbon structures of the blood, okay, the blood sugar, to create a chemical reaction to very powerfully saturate the blood with oxygen. And you know what? Holy mackerel, he found out the not only the cure for these disease states, but more importantly, the preventive measure that you can stop these things from ever happening to you in your life. Wow, Dr. Koch was excited. Part and parcel of that was the Raytone machine. So he shared his findings with the AMA powers that be, with the mistaken belief they were going to help spread the good word worldwide. No, no, no. This was a really dark stain on American history, what happened to Dr. Koch and the Raytone boys. Enter the Jewish gang called the Purple Gang, paid and financed by Al Capone and his money from the Rockefeller boys from Chicago and New York. The Purple Gang came in, absolutely shut down the Raytone operatives. They did it through kidnapping of their children, ransoms being extorted, murder and death, and finally the firebombing of the Raytone factory. Dr. Koch was brought and arrested under the AMA and FDA charges. Three separate times he was arrested, went through the mockery of a trial before, and he was exonerated each and every time, but the persecution didn't stop. Dr. Koch eventually had to leave after World War II to go out of this country to further his research work, and was eventually poisoned. That is the reality of the Dr. William Koch story. If you want to know more about this this incredible story, go to the website that the Koch family has put out. All of the papers of Dr. William Koch are there available. The website is www.WilliamFKoch. That's spelled K-O-C-H. WilliamFKoch, K-O-C-H.com. Plan on spending hours there because you'll just be amazed at what's there. The research and documentation he had. The root cause of basically every dread disease that we are plagued with here in America today. The answers are there in his research.
So are you saying then that the information that I mean, because a similar fate kind of happened to Reich too, didn't it?
Oh, yes. Again, he was excited, and he made a press release. The San Diego newspapers actually carried the headline, "Cancer Cured," right? Because in vivo as well as in vitro tests, his basic harmonic frequencies were basically zapping the cancer. But see, what they were really doing is not so much zapping the cancer as causing the cells in the blood to be oxygen rich, and the oxygen did the work.
Well,
walked off without the piece of paper that had, that described a little bit on your research, and you got into something on trypsin.
Trypsin.
Right.
Yes. Well, that wasn't really my breakthrough at all. It was Dr. Beard. Again, a contemporary, actually about 50 years earlier, actually, than Koch, Dr. Beard found out that all cancer cells and cancer tumors were completely and totally deficient in an enzyme called trypsin. And what is trypsin all about? Well, it's an enzyme, a protective enzyme that keeps the DNA from mutating. And trypsin is created in the cells by means of mineral synthesis. Specific minerals are precursor coenzyme factors to the production of trypsin. So, you see, if you're one of the root causes of cancer, you know, is cellular stress, of course, and the stressors have a tendency to rob the body of mineralization. Poor nutrition, poor diets can do the same thing, but that was one of another great breakthrough was that the trypsin study that putting synthetic hormone and trypsin enzyme factors back into the blood was a great natural way to fight the cancer as well.
Well, my husband has an illness that he doesn't have the antitrypsin. So, but what were the minerals that you were talking about that were involved on creating the trypsin?
Well, you've got your basic essential macro minerals. You got to have the right usable calcium and then the magnesium structure. Magnesium and calcium work to basically oxygenate the cells themselves, okay? And then you've got the incredible potassium and iodine minerals to help regulate the thymus gland and the thyroid secretions. It's all interrelated, okay? If you got low trypsin levels, you probably have a malfunctioning thyroid and thymus glands, okay? And so, yeah, the body is like the old song, you know, the hip bone is connected to the leg bone, et cetera, et cetera. They're all interconnected.
So isn't that interesting that we have a medical profession that segments everything out so there really is very little cross information going on or jealousy going on between treatments or whatever, so that, you know, and the patient now is being factored out of this.
Exactly. You know, syndicated columnist Tom Valentine back in 2005 did an excellent piece, an expose, which he entitled Cancer Masons. And if you just want to just type that into any Google search engine, you'll come up with this article. Again, it's Cancer Masons. And he, for six pages, he goes and explains in depth that this is not by accident. This is by design for one thing and one thing only, greed, money, and manipulation and monopolization of the people. And it's the basis root of evil, as he calls it, and I have to agree with him. He absolutely did his own independent research and came to that own conclusion, and it's absolutely correct, okay? In 1930, after they routed out Beard and Koch and Blass and others, and all these basic great research that were tied to natural substances. What if you had a cancer diagnosed, post World War II? What options do you have? They gave you three basically. Well, we've got a new experimental chemotherapy drug, but we've got some radium to give to you, some radiation and X-rays, and if we can, we'll chop you up and cut this thing out. Those are the three options given to you in 1945. What's the options given to you 62 years later?
Pretty much the same things.
After billions and billions of dollars being spent in research. Well, folks, the research has already been done by Dr. Koch, Dr. Beard, Dr. Blass, Dr. Rice, and Nikola Tesla. It's all in the medical records. So, you know, hey.
Well, you know, this is where, I mean, you can, when you start finding a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit somewhere else, and you realize they all hit kind of the same scenario, then you have to start looking back into its origins. And it still goes back to people that came out of this eugenic society, as far as I'm concerned.
You got that right. Absolutely. I.G. Farben and that whole group of chemists, and I.G. Farben and that tied to Wall Street bankers. But, you know, there's what I think is a tremendous a video expose done. It's called the Empire of the City and the Ring of Power. Have you seen that?
No.
The gal that did this is, her last name is Powers. She's out of Canada. And, you know, I, for the first time I've seen something that I, that basically parallels my own research. And she has done a great job in putting the pieces together. The Empire of the City is basically, she exposes, there's really three points of a pyramid, okay? Three interlocking city-states that really does control everything on this globe right now. Those three city-states are the Vatican in Italy, the City of London, which is a corporation within the bigger City of London, okay? It's the square mile epicenter of basically the whole crown holdings. And then we've got the other city-state, which is Washington, District of Columbia. The District of Columbia has its own police force, it has its own flag, it has its own constitution, and it's its own corporation. And the corporate structure of the District of Columbia is exactly the same, by the same people, written by the same architects, as the City of London and the Vatican. So what does that tell you? Okay?
Jerusalem wasn't in on that?
Well, look at who that is. You know, the term Zionism, you know, we really got to be careful, you know, and I do this all too often. The Jews as a race and as a religion are, for the most part, I have very many, many close friends who are of that persuasion.
Okay, you know, this argument to me is I don't even go there, because it isn't even a viable argument, because they didn't even set up that place.
Yeah.
I mean, this was set up by the City of London.
By the City of London. It's the people behind that want to cast stones. And they want people like the neo-Nazis and the skinheads blaming the Jews. They're not responsible. I mean, you know, the people themselves are good people, hardworking. They just want to mind their own business, for the most part, and be good neighbors and be good friends. Same with the Palestinians, for heaven's sakes. Same with the Mormons. I can tell you a whole lot about that. But the rank and file Mormons are good, hardworking, salt-of-the-earth people. Absolutely. It's the leadership, on the other hand, that needs to be held accountable.
Well, it's kind of like if, you know, you've got some gangs running the world, and if you want to hire a gang that specializes in one avenue, one is banking, one is at assassinating, one is at explosions, one is at, you know, I mean, that's kind of what goes on.
Just like what happened to Coke and the Raytone Boys, you know, it's the recruitment of the Purple Gang. And they were specifically targeting that technology. Because, you know, I after researching this completely, this technology of Dr. Koch and the Raytone technology of energy medicine had the incredibly real potential to basically cure these disease states, and it would cost the cartel trillions of dollars of wealth and loss of power and control. You bet. And again, Tom Valentine in his piece, The Cancer Masons, says it very well, right? The article is very well done.
Well, getting a little bit on what's going on with this person that's dealing with the Reif machine right now and the case that's going on with them, I mean, that's relatively recent.
Yes, you know, there's a technology called the GB4000. I've tested that myself. I I really don't, I'm not a real big fan of that, frankly. I think it has some potential, but it's really not a Rife technology, all right? Because it doesn't utilize the photon energy that Rife used and Tesla used.
Okay.
And until you do that, it's really not a true Rife machine. So they say it's frequency-based and it pulses electronic current. To that respect, yes. But nevertheless, they, in their marketing claims, you know, they did happen to say a few things about frequencies responding to disease states. And the one gentleman that helped manufacture it was arrested and convicted and probably will spend the rest of his life in a federal prison. You know, the bottom line to that is simply, who has he hurt? I mean, has he killed anybody with this? No. Who's the victim? Where are the victims, you see? But if you start, you know, cutting into their profit line in any way, they will come after you.
Well, again, that's why I say that, you know, I mean, I know that I'm, when I see this with the various professions, when they all will jump, I mean, it's almost like they're mind controlled when it comes out and somebody puts out that you gotta get, you know, registered and licensed and this, you gotta get this upgraded schooling. Do you know how much schooling I've had for the same classes over and over and over again? And they're expensive and they're boring and they still make you go through it because that's how they control you and make sure they keep you in line.
Well, that's what licensing is all about. Now, let me just pick on another profession. It's one that I almost went into. I was accepted, actually, to go to the University of Utah Law School. But, you know, in praying about it and meditating about it, a strong impulse came to me and said, no, stay away from it. You know, folks, again, so many attorneys just are ignorant of what their profession is all about. The old joke goes, you know, when an attorney fell into a shark tank and was never touched, never molested by the shark. Why? The sharks have professional courtesy, right? That's a bad joke, I know. But what is the origins of what they call the bar, passing the bar exam? You ever thought about that?
Yeah, I've actually listened to some programs and have had some people on that just kind of discuss.
Well, see, you're average, you know, smarter than the average bear there, Melody. But you know, it goes back to the city of London and a place called the Temple Bar. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In the city of London, folks, as you enter into the financial district on the, from the west gate, crossing the Thames River, going into the financial district, they at one time had a big gate, and they just replaced it, put it back in there now, and it was called the bar because it had this huge up and down moving bar that kept people from going in and out unless they had a pass to get in. Now, going back into the days even of in the Dark Ages, in the 800s and 900s, that's where the city fortress originated, and that's where the bar came. It eventually became the epicenter of the royal courts. There's where justice and the Western law was dispensed from. The judges began to wear these Egyptian-looking headdresses of wigs, and they sat in the royal courts. And you know, if you were a citizen of Britannia that was charged with a crime of the king, a crime against the crown, you couldn't just go in there and defend yourself. You had to pay a fellow with a title of nobility, a squire or an esquire, also known as a barrister, because they had access to pass the bar and enter into the inner court, you see.
Hmm.
That's where it all came from. So we have that extended into America's courts today by the same nomenclature, the same verbiage, the bar, passing the bar. Or if you don't obey the rules and go on your own and don't follow protocol, you can be disbarred. You're not allowed to to enter into the court and represent your client in the court, you see. So it all goes back into that, to that control of the City of London, ultimately.
It all goes back to control, and that's what all the everything that they're coming up with new technology goes back to control.
Yes. Loss of individuality. You know, it seems like they want everybody to be just the same lockstepping drones or sheeple, if you will, to keep everybody just a step ahead of the mortician, just well enough to get to work and put in 8 hours a day at a factory or your service industry or your hospital, and then just limp back in and go to bed and do the same thing over and over again. That's really what we're heading toward more and more and more, okay? Now, the expression of individuality and free will is what liberty and justice is really all about. And if you lose that, what good is living, really?
Right. And so, I mean, where are you at on the Codex Alimentarius issue?
A lot of that, I think, is a little bit of a smokescreen, myself. Why do they need a Codex Alimentarius when they already have the FDA doing their deeds, okay? Yeah, making it United Nations worldwide mandatory law is part of their agenda, but in a real way, we already have that. And we're kind of being focused on that and not looking at the laws that are going across this country, like in Colorado, to really crack down and remove naturopaths from office or from their profession, okay, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we don't really need a Codex Alimentarius to have medical Gestapo at work.
Yeah, and I've noticed that they kind of like to pick through certain professions when it comes to some of that, because I was trained in iridology, and my understanding is that now they're trying to eliminate our ability to utilize the very instrument that it takes to do that profession.
Right, right. Again, like you said, it really is all about control and keeping people sick. You know, like my friend Wayne Pickering just said, we run a radio show together. You know, nobody likes to be around somebody that has to carry around an oxygen tank or, you know, a bag of excrement with them, okay? You limit yourself, but you also limit your social options, absolutely. And, you know, the statistics are staggering. Now 1 in 3 people in America will have cancer. That's unacceptable. It is flat out preventable. The cause and the reversal of that is in the medical record. There is no need to have any more research. It's already been done. It just needs to be utilized.
Now, what is it that you're selling or you offer on your site? Is that ties in with any of this? Or do you, I don't see you often talking about it. Is there a reason?
Well, we don't talk about it on the air too much because I did that for quite a while. And you know what? I got raided and arrested. So it's a touchy subject.
Well, I would really like to hear a little more about the Gwyn system.
Okay.
Last time during the interview, we talked a tad about that.
The Gwyn towers and how they relate? Yeah. Well, the Gwyn system is the digital cable network, ultimately. I mean, that's the network that's going to be utilized. That's how they basically transfer the satellite frequencies into the cable stations and the digital transmitters.
One of the things you mentioned last time was that they had towers that were around 200 miles apart?
Yes.
How would you recognize one of them if you were driving down the road, or are they basically kind of confined to areas where you can't see them?
They look just exactly like the relay towers for your cell phones. I mean, you see they're about 3 or 4 stories high with plates around them. Those are basically the GWEN towers as well.
And GWEN stands for?
Ground Wave Emergency Network. Again, emergency network. It goes back to Homeland Security and the whole thing for digital. The whole rationale for switching to digital is for the emergency band network.
And so, I mean, where are you at as far as isn't there pallets of vaccines sitting out there right now for supposedly giving flu vaccines? Is that what it is, or what is this, something else?
Well, if you believe the Health and Human Services website, they've paid for and stockpiled over 300 million doses of this experimental bird flu vaccine. So that equates to about 300 million. Most every human being in America has a dose waiting for them. Now, under the State Emergency Health Powers Act that virtually every state has passed, all it takes is the Health and Human Secretary and the CDC in concert to declare that bird flu or pandemic flu, as the case may be, has been identified, and then the states evoke the Emergency Health Powers Act and vaccinations are forced and mandatory, or you will be put into a quarantine FEMA camp.
Now, what is there a tie-in between what they're doing with this one as opposed to the smallpox thing that took place?
Yeah, there is a tie-out, you see, but if you look back and turn the clock back, around 2003, Bush and his infinite wisdom ordered all these hundreds of millions of smallpox vaccines. Why? Because of bioterrorism threat from smallpox being released, you see. But it never happened. Why? Because the weaponization of the flu became the weapon of choice. So all that money spent by Homeland Security and our government for these smallpox vaccines all went down the toilet.
Well,
the only people that made money was the pharmaceutical company.
Well, it would be easier to sell because everybody gets the flu, but not
exactly.
Everybody gets smallpox.
And smallpox's mortality is maybe about 4 or 5% max in the worst case, but this pandemic flu is more like 60% mortality and even higher among the 18 to 36-year-olds, you see.
And I could see why weaponizing it would be, and then they would have a justification for the, you know, these batches. But when you have trying to give flu shots for a flu that you don't even know the strain in advance.
Exactly. It's the way of passing the virus into the general public. That is clearly what's happening with this. Now, how does this tie in again? We talked about the so-called RF frequency technologies going out over these pulsating waves of digital TV, etc. Let me put on my Dr. Strangelove cap here for a while, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is technically possible for once a virus is put into your body by means of forced injection, it is possible through the technology they have now to either neutralize that completely in the body by a frequency tied to your DNA genome, or they can activate it in a powerful way as well. See, part of what's going to come down very soon with the 2010 and pre-2010 census is request for DNA for a DNA bank. That's part of President Obama's healthcare reform agenda. Trust me, it's there. It's in his budget. It's in his stimulus package.
Yeah, but a lot of that they've already been collecting all along.
Sure, but they don't have everybody's. But they want everybody's in a national data bank.
Okay, now when you're talking about that something might could stimulate the activation of these vaccines, would fluoride tie in there?
Well, again, it goes back to that eugenics program. They have identified the gene pools they want and desire to keep on planet Earth. Now, keep in mind, folks, whenever I have discussed this with my peer groups, my groups of microbiologists and scientists, the biggest roadblock that they came up with, and they say this, they do it kind of mockingly until I give them this answer. They said, I'll come now. Why would anybody want to kill that many Americans on purpose? They want to make money off of us, right? Well, you see, there's a certain point in time where they say, we've already got their gold. We've already got all their assets stored away in underground vaults in Switzerland. We don't need it anymore. Now we need to develop the New World Order to protect Mother Earth Gaia in our prescribed formula. And that means culling the human population on this planet to 500 million. Now, folks, this is in stone in the Georgia Guidestones outside of Atlanta, Athens, Georgia. It's all there. It was Masonically and Illuminati bigwigs came and basically did a ceremony on that site. The eight stones have basically been written in all languages that are relevant, eight different languages. The number one new commandment for these sickos is to cull the 6.1 billion people down to 500 million. Now, how are they going to do that? If that is truly their agenda, or they wouldn't put it in stone if it wasn't, how in the heck are they going to do that?
And it's not their only place that they've done it either. I mean, it's
yeah,
nice.
But
I mean,
they but it's in your face there. It's up for public perusal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to do it by nuclear weaponry? No, it kind of ruins planet Earth for everybody. Anthrax? No, anthrax leaves an absolute terrible residue as well, and contaminates everything. See, the bird flu, this customized virus, is perfect because they can control it through their technology now. They think they can anyway.
Well, weren't the Russians working a lot with the anthrax?
Yeah, the Russians were too. Who funds the doggone Russians? It's the same group of people.
And now they're crossing a lot of that technology and that sort back and forth now. So,
yeah, anthrax is again pretty lethal, but you know it doesn't do the job that this weaponized virus does. Again, if you're going to control population to do what you need to do, take out the young able-bodied people, 18 to 40 years of age. You know, you can really pretty easily control the old folks that are on high blood pressure medicines and have arthritis and prostate problems and need Viagra, okay? But and the young people, they can always retrain them. But you know, the big demographic they need to take out is that 18 to 36 years old, and nothing does it like this weaponized virus.
Well, war is a good one, though.
Well, they can do that too.
From what I understand, I mean the casualties in our you know with our veterans and that sort of thing are absolutely astronomical for compared to other wars.
And don't forget the servicemen and women going to Iraq and Afghanistan have been shot up with these experimental vaccines. They are very likely carriers of this virus as it comes back. As they come back in and you know, part of the reasons why so many of them are depressed and committing suicide is because of the action of these vaccines on their central nervous system. Absolutely, it's tied to that.
So, is there something positive we can do with any of this information?
Well, like I said, if you understand it, what does the scripture say? He that has understanding has no room for fear. Okay, you can only have fear and anxiety if you're in the dark and questioning. It's just the old a dark closet thing, you know, where they think there's a monster in the closet, turn the light on, go look it over, there's nothing there. So exposing this information will give you a leg up on it so you can understand when it happens. There's no need for panic and fear with it. There is plenty of room for anger and hostility to make a stand and stop it, absolutely. You know, out of the planned chaos, one of two things will happen. We'll either get rid of these nut jobs that are doing this work, okay? Or we'll just be part of, you know, their plan will be successful. One of two things will happen. I want to see the establishment of a new order, if you will, where we have freedom to have good health by natural remedies that are no longer stifled and people practicing them aren't imprisoned. I want to see free energy. You know, there's technologies that have also been suppressed for motors that run without fuel, water engines, etc., etc., etc. You know, we don't need to be tied to fossil fuel power grid, for heaven's sakes. Not at all. Not at all. So we have to understand who is responsible for the state we're in now, and as a society, make the necessary changes. That's what I'm all about, and that's what I foresee happening.
Okay, then the one thing that it still comes back down to is those little boxes and that sort. I mean, and you were, I mean, even when you were alluding a little bit to that movie about, you know, they stare at goats. I mean, they were working with remote viewing. In that, is that correct?
That's part of the program, yes.
Right. And so they wouldn't be working with it unless they felt it worked.
Well, yes, they're using it for the wrong agenda, basically. Though, you know, human beings, if they're really in tune with the infinite, with the being that we know as God and His angels, you know, you have that innate ability anyway. You know, and you can't control it, you can't stop it, and that's what makes the human being so incredibly powerful.
Well, it seems like a lot of the inventions and great advancements are often a two-edged sword, but I find one of the hardest things that I foresee coming up, more so than even in the past, is trying to peel between the layers and show people that, you know, sometimes what you're being told has multiple agendas hidden within it. And it's really hard to overcome that.
And there's a lot of disinformation. Agents provocateur, as Rima Labow would call them. She should know. Okay? there's disinformation people that are providing lots of smoke screens. So you really do have to sift through somewhat, but follow your own logic, and if it makes sense, jump on it. Okay, if it doesn't, get rid of it.
I don't even know where to go with it, because I run across that in a lot of the radio that's out there of people trying to inform people and not just spin them or send them just sheer propaganda, but then you get, like you say, those agent provocateurs or whatever that come in there and they start splitting the people. Well, we've got that sort of thing going on right now with when you, I mean, it's really even hard to peel between the 10th Amendment situation when if you're trying to divide a country and take it down economically in every other fashion, and then at the same time, the states are grouping to get sovereignty, I mean, and that's a natural split in its own right, it gets really hard to try to, to weed through that. Does that, you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, again, they really do want to have right versus left, okay? Civil war is all to their benefit. They want to see people at each other's throats. And that's the tragedy of this whole thing. We can't do that. You know, the outcome of the Civil War was the creation of the Corporation of the United States through City of London bankers and the formation of the third city-state, Washington, D.C. Okay? We can't let them manipulate us. So you have to understand, first of all, who they are and how they utilize religion and other lackeys, basically minions, to do their work for them.
Yeah, and I guess it's just doing a fair amount of research on history while it's there.
Yeah, while you can.
I mean, they're changing it faster than you can think of. I mean, libraries destroy books. I mean, and they're rewriting it. It's amazing when you think you read something, and then you go back, and then you find out where was that at? You know?
Yeah, right. And again, the story of Dr. Koch. Again, we go back to that. You know, they've tried in every possible way to destroy his research and to keep it from surfacing again. You know, and I got to tell you, I've read every possible thing I can get my hands on with him, and I got to give, if I had an ability to give him a Nobel Prize for medicine, he's got it, triple time. He's a genius. He figured it out. Absolutely needs a medal. Instead, nobody knows about him. Virtually nobody has heard of him. Okay, and that is a tragedy.
And you know, there probably could be a whole lot more out there that didn't manage to save their notes and
absolutely. You know. The people with Raytone, the firebomb that went off in that factory thanks to the Purple Gang. And the rest of these things, the Tesla technology that has been perfected and people get it ready to come to market, they have unfortunate accidents or they're bought off and it's put away in a safe somewhere. You know, that has happened way, way, way too much. Again, to protect vested interests that tie ultimately to two groups, control of oil and control of pharmaceuticals, at least in this country. The three city-states that I mentioned earlier, their god is gold, oil, and drugs. That's spells God to them.
Yeah, I could be speaking about God and be very astute about, you know, how great he is.
You know, and like Miss Power said in her documentary, it really does go back to the basic origins of Egypt and the worship of the false gods of Egypt, the Amun-Ra's and those. Because it really is an outgrowth of that ancient Egyptian/Babylonian structure that's dominating the world yet today. You know, the masses of the world have a great opportunity here in the next 3 or 4 years to make positive change or to just go to sleep and let them win. The fact is they are a small, small minority, and the worst thing that could happen to them is a group of powerfully alert citizens waking up.
And it is, you know, I mean, it only takes the elites of the world that are in control is what, 1% something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah, and it, you know, the American Revolution was basically fought by by this figure was astounding when I found out. They estimate 5% of the colonists, the able-bodied men, only 5% was involved in the revolution. Wow.
And so it really doesn't take that many just to step forward and seeing how easy it is. I mean, that's why they want to do this mind control thing or whatever, how easy it is to get people to fall in line. Well, just imagine if, you know, some people that really were trying to do something to get truth and cared about humanity and not trying to kill it off, what they could do.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I've done probably about 20 radio interviews the last 3 months on this subject of mind control and the sound of silence, the SOS. And you know what? People have emailed me and called me by the hundreds, and they all ask, what do we do? What do we do? Oh, my gosh. You know, well, it's simple. Don't immerse yourself totally in that medium. Don't immerse yourself in their mind control ways. Just turn that TV off and unplug it. I mean, you got to take that step, and it's really not that drastic. There's so many other good things to do. Read a book. Read and study this information. You know, the other thing that was found out in the 50s and 60s concerning this technology, you know, the Earth itself has a vibratory energy pulse wave. It's called the Schumann resonance. It's roughly 7.83 hertz. Okay? Now that pulse is what the human body and the cells resonate to as a master frequency too. So doesn't it make sense if you were to immerse yourself in a 783 pulse, a radio frequency pulse, that would basically negate any of the lower ELF frequency waves going out there?
Oh, and how would you do that? And that you're just going out in nature?
Well, you can fight fire with fire. You know, if you're in the Forest Service and want to fight a wildfire, one of the most effective tools is to create a backburn and block it with fire, right? Use fire to fight fire. Well, you can actually, I've teamed up with a genius electrical an engineer here in Utah, and we've created what I call the MAGI unit, Modulating Anti-Psyops Grounding Instrument, MAGI. And it does just that. It pulses the Earth's pulse, Schumann resonance. Now, I've given this out to, about 20 individuals to test individuals that have indeed been part of PSYOPS operations. They have had implants removed, folks. They have been targeted for specific reasons very powerfully. And you know what? The last 2 months, they've been absolutely ecstatic on the results. So, you know, those MAGI units are available. I don't want to do a commercial or anything like that. I don't want to go there. But there is ways to stop that ELF technology, extra low frequency wave technology.
And basically that's with the 783 hertz.
That's my theory. You know, if you wrap yourself in the most beneficial radio frequency wave that has been identified as healing and energizing and balancing, you see, then that's rock the baby frequencies and the pacifist frequencies they generate out there to lull you to sleep just is not going to be effective.
To me, that makes the most sense. I mean, when you look at the people that are into the eugenics movement, I mean, that's they're taking away. I mean, they're gonna. The water is contaminated. The food's gonna be contaminated and maybe non-existent, or you know, relatively little to, you know, because they've already got the. There is no prolific amount of storage anymore with food that, and between lack of water and that sort of thing. I mean, it leads to that frequency is going to be the area of healing if that, or they've got it stashed and they already know it, and the rest of us are just stuck.
Well, if you want more information on this Magi, or another little tool is a Tesla wristwatch. Now, Oprah had this technology explained on one of her shows. In fact, she gave these very expensive Tesla watches out as free gifts to her, studio guests and audience there, right? Well, these watches cost anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000. They're expensive, but they work. I'm wearing one right now on my wrist. I tell you, I've tested the technology. These Tesla watches are the real thing. They put this 783 pulse, this Earth frequency, right into your arm where you're wearing it, and then it surrounds your body in kind of a
cocoon. So where do people get those things?
You can just go online, Teslar, T-E-S-L-A-R, watches. You can just Google them up, and there's a lot of good jewelry stores now carry these Tesla watches.
And where's your web? And what is your website?
My website is meminerals.com. Me stands for Mother Earth. Meminerals.com, or you can dial our toll free number. It's 866-989-9876, and we'll be happy to email you or send you out a copy of this Magi technology. These Magi units, I got to tell you, are a whole lot less money than these wristwatches. A whole lot less. You're down to about $300 for this, and it surrounds your whole house, basically 100 square yards of this frequency. So, it's much more powerful than the Tesla watch, but you can't carry it around like you can the Tesla watch.
Yeah, but how would it do against something like the microwave energy or anything like that?
Or Cheyenne Mountain?
Well, I don't frankly know because we haven't tested it. But again, for what we do know about the ELF silent sound frequencies, yes, I can unequivocally say it works there.
Okay. So in the ranges that we're probably bombarded with constantly, it would be real effective.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I really, Dr. Otto, I really appreciate you coming back on the program and hitting your. I think we pretty much covered just about every subject we could think of here. If there's something else you'd like to come back on, just let me know or whatever, and we'll do it again.
Yeah, I'd just like to leave the listeners with again a positive affirmation. These things are very real. They are happening. They're all around us. But again, if you have knowledge and understanding, there's no room really to fear these things. It's just ways to protect yourself and to come out on top and make it a winner. And that's what we're all about, is focusing on ways to win this thing. So thank you. Thanks for the great insights and the commentary. It's been a pleasure sharing this with you tonight.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Katie.
Sharing it with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie.
And good night.
Good night.
Good night.